All right, good morning. Welcome to everyone here. Welcome to those listening on Torah Anytime. I'm grateful to all those who reached out with suggestions for next year, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see. Please feel free to share your thoughts or comments all the time. So the Sefer Tiferes Shlomo for Parshas Ki Tsetse. He starts off in the same place where all of us have heard all this Torah, that we read the Parshas Ki Tsetse at this time of the year, because Ki Tsetse LaMalchama, as much as it's referring to the physical wars that the Jewish people fought, but as we know, this is the month of Elul, and we are all Tsetse LaMalchama Aloyevecha, we're all at war against our enemy, that's the Yetzer Hara, and there's all those drushas about what that means. So he's going to focus on Rashi's comment at the beginning of the parsha. Rashi says, "Ki seite la milchama," when you go out to war, says Rashi, "Bil milchames harashus hakasuv medaber," that the verse is referring to wars that are optional. As we know, there are wars which are a mitzvah to do, and then there's wars which are an option called milchames harashus. And Rashi speaking in the world of Pshat, which is in the world of Pshat, we're discussing all these laws of war, but these laws of war only apply in a Mohammed Rishus, in an optional war, but if it was a Mohammed Mitzvah, a Mitzvah war, the rules would be different. Okay, so that's in the world of Pshat, when we're talking about actual battles. But in our metaphor, which is where we understand that this is referring to us right now at this time of the year when we're battling with our evil inclination and trying to overcome it. So what do we mean by Milchemes Rishus? What do we mean by it's an optional war? The war with the Yetzirah is not an optional war. Right? So that's what he's going to try to explain, that element of this drush understanding of the verses. So kisei teila milchama, you go out to war. Perish Rashi, Rashi explains. But milchames harashus akasu medaber, the verse is referring to optional wars. Nagdim, so I want to start with mashkasafti beperish apasik. When I explain the verse, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says tachas asher aha v'savasecha, because Hashem loved your forefathers, v'yivchar bezaram achareihem, therefore He chose their children after them. And he's going to try to explain, what do we mean that because Hashem loved Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, therefore, it should say He chose them and their descendants, right? But it says, because He loved our forefathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them. So he's going to try to explain that verse. So this is where he goes. When it comes to the mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs is that you shall love Hashem. So there's a lengthy discussion amongst all the medieval commentators. In order for you to love something, you have to have some commonality. You have to have some connection. God is infinite. God is infinite and beyond space, beyond time. So God is capable of anything, but how can I love Hashem? How can I love God if God is beyond anything that I can fathom? That's a question that the Rishonim ask. So the way I understand it, we say every morning that Hashem, Baruch Ato Hashem, thank you Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael, who chooses the Jewish people, Ba'ahava, with love. V'chein ba'arvis, at night, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Ohev Amo Yisrael, who loves his nation, Yisrael. So, says the Tiferes Shlomo, I couldn't say such a thing, but he can. Ki ne Hashem Yisbarach, Ohev Amo Yisrael. Hashem can do anything, including love us. Ohev Amo Yisrael. Hashem loves his nation Yisrael. Umazriach bahem keren ahavoso aleihem. And Hashem bestows that love upon us, and He's specifically mazriach bahem keren, like a sun shines its rays and gives warmth. And the difference is, you know, if you're under, let's say, an ultraviolet light or an infrared light, you can't see it. but you can't feel it either. But if there's sunlight with warmth, you can feel it. So he's saying that Hashem, when Hashem expresses his love for the Jewish people, it actually shines rays of ahava, rays of love upon us. And you should picture this, dugmas ahavas ha'av lebno, like a parent loves a child, like a father loves his son, shuhu magdim lo, where the father precedes the child, precedes the son, laharos lo chibaso, to show him how dear he is to him, va'ayidezeh, and by the parents loving the child, kamayim panim al panim, like water, which reflects the face back to the face, lamata below, b'yeser se'es, b'yeser se'oz, with even greater power and greater strength, b'sarusa d'lasata, from the initiation from below, meaning that Hashem, you can't love Hashem because Hashem is beyond you. But once Hashem loves you, then you can feel that and reflect that back. And so our Avas Hashem is really just allowing for ourselves to experience enough of Hashem's love for us that we automatically reflect it back, because that's how love works. That when someone gives off love to someone else, that naturally that person reflects it back. There may be other interferences, but just that on its own, that's kamayim panim al panim, like water reflects the face. That's how love is reflected that way. And so he's saying, you're right, we're incapable of loving Hashem, but we are capable of reflecting Hashem's love back. Ulazan, this is why, kodem kriya shema, before you say shema, and what's the opening line after you say shema Yisrael baruch shem, v'ahavta as Hashem lekacha, you shall love Hashem. So before you read that, Tiknu Anshik Nasagdolu, the man of the great assembly, said, no, first, Levarech, make the bracha kach. Haboche ba'amo Yisrael be'avo. Hashem, you chose me with love. And at that moment, you should feel Hashem's love towards you. And then, when you say Shema Yisrael, v'avta Hashem lekacha, then you can love Hashem back. Ki ikar habechira, because when we say habocher ba'amo Yisrael, Hashem chooses us. Hashem's choosing us, lemidas ha'ava, specifically through the attribute of love, who al yidei yisorus shalamala, he's saying that's an initiation that comes from above. This is what his point is, that we can't love Hashem until we first experience Hashem's love for us. So usually, it's in this, what we call isarusa de lasata, which means usually when something has to happen, we have to initiate it from below, and then Hashem responds back from above. So like the month of Elul is all about that. We do a little bit of teshuva, and then Hashem inspires us to do a lot of bit of teshuva. Right? But we have to start, we have to initiate. He says, well, when it comes to love between Hashem and the Jewish people, there we can't initiate the process because we can't fathom such a concept, so therefore Hashem has to initiate it. Shenotea lehem bilvavam, Hashem implants in our hearts, embeds into our hearts, ki'ilu ha'yicholim lev oso yizbaruch shemo, as if we can love Hashem, meaning because Hashem gives us that ability based on us absorbing the love Hashem sends us. Achakach miyachdim b'yichud shema v'ahavta, and then you could say Shema Yisrael and v'ahavta. Yeah, this is the first idea, an amazing idea, that a person, like, how am I supposed to love Hashem? Why should I love Hashem? These are these questions that a person says. So actually, you should start with thinking about how much Hashem loves you. And since Hashem is able to love you, because Hashem can do anything, and once Hashem loves us, then it's automatic that you love back the one who loves you. And so that's how we can love Hashem. V'dava zeh, this concept, nira le'ena adam, he says, you've all felt this, you've all seen this. Why? Ki lepa'amim, sometimes, adam nofol mi madrigaso. Every person has ups and downs. And sometimes a person falls from their higher state. V'nistar mimenu hachashkus, lavadasa yizbarach shemo. And the person loses the the desire to serve Hashem. Sometimes it happens. A person just doesn't feel like it. Lepa'amim mischazik b'yaser oz. But yet, sometimes, suddenly, you're feeling this incredible inspiration and all this power, and you're ready to do anything that comes. What's going on here? So he says, b'kol zeh hu mekoach avisenu hakadoshim. This all comes from our forefathers. All of this, a lot of what's happening inside of you, is really a reflection of what's happening in the upper realms. And our forefathers, they had ups and downs that affect us in a way, that causes us to have ups and downs, because we're all part of, that's what he's trying to do, we're all part of this big, big system here. So he says, Achadaya Abraham. Abraham was one. Midas HaChesed, he was the attribute of kindness. As we say, Zera Avraham Ohavo, we are the descendants of Abraham, the beloved of Hashem. Ohavo. To refer to a human being as the Ohev of Hashem. Dechsivbo, right? Because it says, Lamana Shiyitzava Ezbanav, because he will command his children after him. Ki hu himshich otzem ha'ava, Avraham Avinu loved Hashem so much that he drew down this power, this ability to love Hashem, liyos le'eze l'chaladoris abayim achrav, to help all the people who would come after him. Now, before he said that our love comes from Hashem's initiation to us. But he's saying even that would be too much for us to even reflect back Hashem's love. But once Avram Avinu perfected it, then we can connect in this way. In other words, Hashem showed love towards Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu reflected that love and initiated into his children, the Manashi Yitzhava, gave us the ability to reflect Hashem's love back to him. And that's why we say, Zechar lanu avas kadmonim, remember for us the love of the ancients. Because even what we have today is because we are physical and spiritual descendants of the avos. That's what it means. Because Hashem loved your forefathers. And what we're saying is that Hashem loving our forefathers really means Hashem brought love into them. Hashem loved the avos in a way that caused the avos to love Hashem. Because otherwise a human being shouldn't be able to. So this process, Vayivchar Gam Bezar Machreim, causes Hashem to choose their descendants, Shigam King Yibacholtam Lisor Ba'ava, that what that means is Hashem chose their descendants to allow them this same ability that we should be able to love Hashem, even though we can't fathom Hashem, but we can still feel Hashem's love for us and reflect it back. That's why it says Avraham tikin tefilas shachris. Avraham establishes shachris. It wasn't because, you know, there's three tefilas to establish and no one's used any of them, so Avraham took the longest one. That's not what happened. He established shachris ki hu midas achesed. He's the attribute of kindness, and the attribute of kindness is the morning. That's shachris davening neged ramach mitzvah saseh, and it corresponds with the 248 positive commandments. And that's why Avraham's name Ola Ramach. Avraham's name is 248. Because he represents the 248 limbs represented by this positive love towards Hashem. Yitzchak is the other way. So Yitzchak tikin tefilas mincha, b'chinas agvura, which is judgment. It's the shortest tefillah. There's gaber al yitzra, but that's all about self-control and limitation. But mitzvah slosa say, so he corresponds with the negative commandments. Yaakov, tefilas arvis. Yaakov established arvis. He established ma'ariv, which is reshus, optional. Now, we've taken it on as obligatory. But originally, Ma'ariv was established as optional, as a reshus. Why? He's saying because Avram represents doing all the positive commandments. Yitzchak represents not transgressing the negative commandments. Yaakov represents all the rest of your life that isn't a specific commandment, but all the optional areas in your life, to elevate those and to give those meaning. So Yaakov is the one who teaches us that even things which are mundane and just permitted, so let's say you go to work, you know, that can be a holy process. You're eating, so you're keeping all the mitzvahs, the food is kosher, you're not eating anything non-kosher, but even the eating itself can be holy. That's the mitzvah of Rishus. Kama shekasav kadoshim tiyu, which we learn Kadesh Atzmacha, he's going with the Ramban, that even in between, like the Ramban says, a person can keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah and be a glutton and a lush and a hedonist and, you know, all those things within the boundaries of the Torah. That's called Rishus. And these are the first three brachas in Shmon Esrei, and Negeda Avos, corresponding with our forefathers. The first bracha actually ends with the words Magen Avraham and V'chulu. V'ashlishis, the third Negeda Yaakov Avinu, is Ata Kadosh. Bechinas Yaakov Kanal, it's Kedusha, because it's the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. In the area, in the neutral zone, all that in neutral stuff, when you sanctify that, you become Kadosh like Yaakov. And that's why that's the third bracha of Shmona Esrei. Yes?
When you said ritually, that this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the sun shining on us, and then we learn to reflect it. Is that also why Avram is Shachar? Is because that's when the sun comes up.
He's using it as a metaphor, the sun. So I don't know how deep he wants to take the metaphor, but I think that works. He may not be going there, but I think that would be true. Yeah. So, see, he says, "V'zeh shekos of Rashi." That's what Rashi means. Ki seitzel amolcham aleivach, you go to war against your enemy. Says Rashi, "V'molchemes of Rishus shekos of Medaber." Optional wars. So he's saying it's your internal battle of your inclination over the optional stuff. So you can have Melchemes Mitzvah, which is your war with your Yetzahara over doing a mitzvah or an avera. Melchemes Rishus is your battle to eat like a mensch and to do those things in between. So he's saying that's what this verse is referring to, specifically the challenge of Yaakov Avinu, and that's all part of why Hashem chose us, the Avram part, this love that we reflect, and then Yitzchak, the limitation, and then Yaakov, sanctifying ourselves in the area of the permitted. That's one thought. Let's move on to a second thought. Yes.
Does Hashem love non-Jews in a different way?
Well, Hashem loves all of creation, right? Everything Hashem made, Hashem loves, right? Vayarakim is kalasher asa. Everything is tov ma'od. But you know, there's a love that you have for your community, right? That's greater than the love you have for people at large. But then there's a greater love for your family, right? And your immediate family gets closer and closer. It gets more. Yeah. Okay, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Lo loisira as chamar achicha. Don't see the donkey of your fellow, oshoro, or his, of your brother, or shoro, or his ox. Noflim baderech. Beisalamta mehem, and look away. Rather, hakem takim imo, help him lift up. Okay, so anyone here own a donkey or an ox? Okay, so how do we fulfill this? The answer is, it doesn't mean literally a donkey or an ox. So, but anytime someone needs help, right, you should help them. Let's get a deeper meaning here. Hakem takim imo, hanirli. Apima shekasu v'pirkei avos, it says in Pirkei Avos, in two different Mishnayas, but havei mi talmidav shel Aaron, you should be of the students of Aaron HaKohen. But there's another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. You should be the students of Avraham Avinu. And there's no other instruction in Pirkei Avos, or really anywhere, that you should be students of any figure in history. We're automatically Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You can't help that. But it doesn't say anywhere, hey, you should be of the Talmidav of Yitzchak or Yaakov. Or Yehuda, or David. Avraham and Aaron. So he says, Shehem hayu mibchinas ha-chesed, because the two of them represented chesed in this world. He says, this is why these two individuals, l'chein ha-brachas hayu mesurim b'yadam, we find in the Torah that they have control of blessings. It says by Avraham, I will bless those who bless you. Habrachas Mesuras Biyadacha, and the brachas are in his hands. And that's why Avram blesses Yitzchak. And even when Yitzchak blesses Yaakov, our tradition teaches us that that's the blessings that Avram gave to Yitzchak. But it's all from Avram. But also by Aaron, Ksiv, Vayisa Aaron es Yadav El Ha'am, Vayivarchem. Bracha comes through Kohanim because it's from Aaron. Yeah. It's also interesting that the Kohanim, he doesn't make this connection, but the Kohanim, before they make this bracha, before they give you the bracha, they make a bracha. Ashikidushanu bigdushasa shal Aaron. V'tzivanu v'arech es amo Yisrael. It could stop there. But we add the words be'ahava, with love. So that tells you that if you don't feel the love, then you cannot bestow the blessing. And there's actually some halachos about kohanim who don't get along with people and things like that. It should never be nogeh. It should never apply such things. But such a concept exists because the ava, the love, is part of blessing. You can't bless someone unless you love them. He says, v'chein kal ish halomi Torah lishma. And it's also true that any person who studies Torah, but not for the wrong reasons, for the right reasons, also zoche l'hashpia l'knesses Yisrael, also merits to give off to the rest of the Jewish people tovos v'chasadim, good things and kindness. In other words, you could also bless people if you learn Torah lishma, but as we'll see, you have to feel something towards the people who you want to bless. V'zeh shekasev, and that's why there's another mishnah in Pirkei Avos, im lamadeta Torah harba, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha, now literally that's translated as don't take credit for yourself. Actually, that's not literally. The way it's translated is usually you shouldn't take credit for yourself. But literally, it's al tachzik, don't hold on, tova to the good, la'atzmecha, for yourself. Ki tzarech lios b'chidus mashpia l'zulaso, you should always be giving away. And when you learned a lot of Torah and you've acquired a lot of goodness within you, because that's what the Torah does, it makes you good, and so you've got all this goodness, you have to share that goodness. You have to give it away. Al tachzik tova la'atzmecha. Don't hold on to all that good for yourself. V'zeh shekasev. This is why another mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that when someone studies Torah lishma, nasik ha'mayanim isgaber, it becomes like a wellspring. Simple idea, but brilliant. Bechinas amayan. You know what's interesting about a wellspring? It doesn't keep anything for itself. She'enem is gabar avur atzmo. It's not overflowing for itself. If it wanted all that for itself, it wouldn't spring. It would just well. Rak lashpia luzulasa. It wants to give to others. It's giving forth all that water. V'zeh shekasev, and that's why it says, utzedaka tialanu. It'll be considered a charity for us. Ki nishmor lasos, if we will observe to do. Pirush shiyia limudenu v'bechinas tzedaka. So he's saying that you could read the verse, tzedaka tialanu, that your all your Torah, all your mitzvahs, has to be about tzedaka. Lashpia tov is to bestow good things. He doesn't say anything about money or property or wealth, right? Goodness, good things doesn't mean only tzedaka. It means good feelings and good understandings and good perspectives. And just general goodness is what a person's supposed to be giving and sharing with other people. Sharing money too, but that's a mitzvah. Ulezeh, and this is why, achar birchas haTorah b'chol yom. Every day, a person's supposed to make birchas haTorah. You can't learn Torah unless you've recited these blessings. And not only that, but once you recite the blessings, it can't be a bracha levatal, it can't be a bracha for nothing. So you have to learn something. So there's actually in your siddur, printed after birchas haTorah, is a little section for learnings. What's that section? Brichas Kohanim. Of all the verses, you could take any psukim in the Torah. Why do we say after Brichas HaTorah, Hashem v'yishmeracha, what about Shema Yisrael or Matovu, right? There's other, okay, Matovu you can say soon, but there's other verses you could say, no. Acha Brichas Torah b'chol yomim, take a Brichas Kohanim, Yivarecha Hashem should bless you. Because that's what you're learning for, in order to bring blessing into the world, for yourself and for others. V'chein shamanu, he says, I heard, b'shem ha-Rav HaKadosh, marenu ha-Rav Zisha Zal, or Rav Zusha, but Rav Zisha, who was one of the Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich, the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the whole approach of the Hasidic movement, and his primary student was the Magid of Mezrich. The Magid of Mezrich had many Talmidim, including Rav Zisha. And so he would b'chal yom every day, achar brichas haTorah, he would recite brichas haTorah. Hayoholich b'shuk, he would then go outside into the street, v'chapes achar ish mizera yisrael, to try to find a Jew, kedei laniko mebrachosav, and give him some of his blessings. Reading this, I'm thinking about this. He didn't go out after reciting brichas haTorah to do tzedakah, which is how you could have said what he did. But that's not what he was doing. He wanted to share the blessings in his life with others. Right, that's what he's doing. He recited Berachas HaTorah, and and his excitement at having the Torah HaKadosh filled him with so much goodness and such a sense of blessing that he needed to find some Jew, kedei laniko mebrachosav, to give him, share with him of his blessings. Misha hayizocha lios rishon, and it would be whoever he saw first, yiyah misha yiyah, whoever it may be. It doesn't even sound like it was necessarily a poor person. He would just find a yid and give him some kind of share, some element of blessing with him. That's what it means. You should be mitalmidav shel Aaron, of the students of Aaron. V'chinas chesed, just people of kindness. V'zeh apirish, and that's what this mitzvah is about. Lo sira, don't see the donkey of your fellow. V'salamta, and you look away. Hakem takim imo, rather you should help him lift up. So he's saying, hakem takim imo means hakem, pick up, takim imo, you will pick up with him, can be read as you should be picked up and he should be picked up. And the only way that you can be picked up is if you're picking up someone else. Because if you're picking yourself up and you're leaving someone else down, then what he's going to talk about in just a second is that the Jewish people are also one big entity. And so if someone else is down, even though you may feel like you're up, you're also being dragged down. So he says, "Shiyeh l'chakim ayideza, you will be picked up. Kashetashkiach atzarche b'nei Yisrael, if when you think about the needs, you think about everyone's needs. Gam ki b'zeh tashlam akom ashlema l'mala." And he says what happens is, we know that in order for the world to be fixed, for the redemption to come, in order for that to happen, a certain level of fixing has to be done by us across the board, right? Across the entire construct of the Jewish people. And when that happens, when the Jewish people as a unit are elevated through each individual person's efforts to elevate themselves, then there can be a fixing of the whole universe. So he's saying that when you lift yourself up and you lift someone else with you, you're taking part in lifting up all the Jewish people. And that's why we say Tzur Yisrael, the rock of the Jewish people. Kuma, rise up. Be'ezras Yisrael, to help the Jewish people. I don't know if he means this in this way, but you could read it that it's when Jewish people help each other that we're lifting up the whole universe. When you're just lifting yourself, you're lifting yourself against everything else that's being dragged down. But when you lift up someone else, you're lifting up everything. And that's this mitzvah of Hakem Takim Imo, which he's learning, means that you can only receive elevation when you are lifting up others. You're only an overpowering wellspring if you are giving water towards others, and that's the Torah specifically of Avram Avinu and Aaron HaKohen, and that's why our sages insisted that we should all call ourselves students of Avram Avinu and students of Aaron HaKohen for this mitzvah. And one more Torah here from the Tiferes Shlomo, but all continuing on the same theme. Kiseitze machane aloyevecha. If you will go out in a camp against your enemies, you're going to war. Says the Torah, v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, you have to be careful from all things that are ra, from all things that are evil. Which in the world of pshat has its meaning, and obviously that meaning applies, and those who are fighting in war have to be careful of such things. But we also know that these parashios are talking about us, as we mentioned before, and our war with our evil inclination, which is an eternal battle, well, until Hashem will end it for us. So he says, Anir l'ramiz b'zeh, I want to allude specifically, al yom Rosh Hashanah. Not just to the month of Elul, but that this verse is referring specifically or focused in on the day of Rosh Hashanah, haba aleinu l'tova, which is coming upon us swiftly, Be'ez Hashem, for good. Asher machnus ha-sitra achra, you're preparing for Rosh Hashanah, I hope, but the other side is also preparing for Rosh Hashanah. They are the prosecutors. The prosecutors have to prepare for the case. They have to line up all the reasons to prosecute against the Jewish people. Heim kamim al adam, they rise up against man, b'yom adin, on the day of judgment. K'mo shekasuv, as it says, this is how the Sefer Iyov starts. V'yivou b'nei Elohim, l'isyatzev al Hashem. That the angels, they come, they stand around Hashem, and there's going to be a judgment day. So we have a concept in the Gemara of Melech v'tzibur, that when there's a king who's coming to face judgment and the community is coming to face judgment, Melech nichnas tchila ledin, the king comes into judgment first before the community. Which means, let's say, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, kings are judged before regular people. But he's going to learn this differently, and he's going to learn Melech, the things that affect the king, meaning our personal year and how we've behaved in the way that affects the king, we're going to be judged about that before we're going to be judged about the things that affect the commoners. Meaning what affects the honor of Hashem, Melech Malchi Amlachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu HaNichnas Tchila Levakesh Ulezchanin Al Davar Zeh, that's what you have to daven for first. And we discussed this couple of weeks ago when he talked about the concept of tefillah, that we should daven for the sake of Hashem before we daven for ourselves, that we should daven for the fixing of the world before we daven for the fixing of our own world. So he's saying in the same way, that's the melech v'tzibor, that's the king and the tzibor, it's the king is first. So he says when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, our focus is supposed to be on the melech, what affects the king. So even though I'm supposed to be davening for my own forgiveness and my own health and my own bani chayim izone, but I don't. I spend all of Rosh Hashanah talking about, oh, if only Hashem was king, if only the world realized that Hashem was in charge. And Hashem, instill your fear. Let the whole world know. Why should you be hiding? And the world should say, they think the world runs by itself. Show the world. That's what our whole davening is, asking Hashem to be king. But what about my needs? So we know. We know we don't have to, everyone knows this teaching, from the woman who speaks to Elisha, and she says, "Besoch ami," he's paraphrasing, "Anochi Yoshev." Right? When he asks her, "What do you want?" she says, "I dwell amongst my people. I don't want to be noticed in terms of my personal." Right? It's not, and that was on Rosh Hashanah. She didn't want to stand out in the crowd. She just wanted to. So that's what he's saying. Our focus is also on greater spiritual things. Okay, so you'll say, okay, so I'm not going to worry about my needs. I'm going to spend the rest of the time until Rosh Hashanah preparing for Hashem's needs. Yeah? So what are Hashem's needs? I mean, I can daven for Hashem, be king. But what does Hashem need? Hashem doesn't need our mitzvos. So here's what Hashem needs. Ikara achana al yom anora zeh. So the primary preparation for Rosh Hashanah, the achva v'reyus ben b'nei Yisrael, is that there should be brotherhood and friendship amongst the Jewish people. That's what Hashem needs. Hashem wants and needs that we, the Jewish people, should come together in love for each other and brotherhood. V'zeh shekasav, and that's why we say in our davening, And like Kamosh Kosov, as it says, Bachatzotzeros, the kol shofar, with trumpets and the sound of the shofar, Hariu, Lefnei Hamalach Hashem, Hariu, from the word Terua, which means you shall blast before the king Hashem. Now, that's not what Hariu means. Hariu, the root of the word Hariu, is the word Lareacha, right? Hariu, become friends. Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. Lashon Achva V'Reis. So B'Chatzos is V'Kol Shofar, with trumpets and with the sound of the shofar, the Jewish people should come together. V'Zeh Shekosem, and as it says, Oz Yerananu Kol Atzei Hayar. Then all the trees of the forest will sing Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. Why? Ki Va Lishpot Es Haaretz. For He has come to judge the land. Meaning that on Rosh Hashanah, Oz Yeraninu, they will sing Kol Atzei Hayar, the trees of the forest. So there's a simple meaning, whatever that means in the realm of the trees. But Atzei Hayar, we know that the trees of the forest, Remez La'ame Ha'aretz, is a reference to those who are unlearned in Torah. Hemi Lani Srak, because they are non-fruit-bearing trees. People who, every person is a tree, and when you do mitzvahs, you are a fruit-bearing tree. All those fruits are collected. This metaphor, you actually said it this morning, Elu Devarim, these are the things, She'adam ochel perusehem ba'olam hazeh, you eat the fruits in this world. Why are we using fruits as a metaphor? Because you're the tree, and everything that grows off of you are fruits on the tree. But there are some people whose trees, the branches are bare. And they are the trees of the forest. And you know the Gemara says that in the future, even the non-fruit-bearing trees are going to bear fruit, which all the Mefarshim say refers to even those who are unlearned. Everyone will become learned. So he says, but on Rosh Hashanah is when we realize that they're also part of the Jewish people. Maybe I say this too often. Maybe you can't say such a thing too often. But it has become, unfortunately, maybe a little too much. I say maybe just because we're trying to be nice. That we've, different groups of Jewish people have cut off different groups of Jewish people. People have cut themselves off, and there's good explanations that they can give you. That person's so terrible, they're going to be an influence, and this group of people, they're so wicked that they're are irredeemable. You hear all these speeches, but they're all Jewish people. They're all B'Shem Yisrael Yechuna. They're all Klal Yisrael. And so, yeah, they may be non-fruit-bearing trees. You could argue, well, then how come we find in Halacha that there are apikorsim and things like, there's no apikorsim left, there's a handful of them, right? Those people just don't know. They grow up the way that they were raised, and the vast, vast, maybe even all, I don't know if there's any people left that anyone could really make a serious argument that they should be excluded. So everyone should be included. And once again, even if we're talking about the fringe, everyone should be included. Klal Yisrael needs to become one unit. And he says, because all of us will say, well, not that guy. Ki lo yivatzer mikal ish mibnei Yisrael. There is not a single Jew in the world that is lacking lios lo ezemayla, to have some great thing about them, shloninza bezulaso, that someone else doesn't have. Take any two yidden in the world, and each one of them will have one thing that where he's better than someone else. Which would mean, take the Gadol Hador, whoever is the greatest of the generation, and take the big, most wicked Jew in the world, assuming that you can find such a thing, and you put them together, and there will be something that this wicked Jew, air quotes, that wicked Jew will have something in where he's better than the Gadol Hador. In terms of midos, mitzvos, something. It would always be true, because there is never, ever, this is the Tiferes Shlomo saying this, you'll never find that one Jew is better than another Jew in every way. V'zeh remez, v'pasik she'eschalnu, and he says, that's the real battle against your enemy. Ki seitzel emachne aloyevecha, when a camp will go out against your enemy. So you want to fight a war. How do you win a war? Everyone's been talking about this teaching. Because we know that the soldiers of Achav went to war and no one died. And the soldiers of David went to war and they died. The soldiers of Achav were idol worshippers. And the soldiers of David were tzaddikim. What's the pshat? And the answer is that the soldiers of Achav got along. And the soldiers of David did not. That's what our sages teach us. So we have Yidden who are dying. However you feel about things, there's Yidden who are dying. And we know that the only way to stop that is if we can all come together. That's what it's saying. You should guard yourself from all evil things, which if you read the pshat, refers to each person's individual self-control. He's saying, Nishmaritim mikol davar ra, guard yourself from seeing bad things in other people. Val yidaber chas v'shalom ra al chavero. If you want to win the war, stop talking negatively about each other. And not only stop speaking that way, but lo yira klal b'chesronu, you shouldn't see. There's no reason for you to see any lacking in someone else. If it's your job, if it's your parent, and you have to raise your children, so you know, you got to notice when your kids are not doing the right thing, and you have to educate. So it's your job to not just to educate them, but in order for you to educate them, you have to notice. What are you noticing bad things in someone else for? What for? Why are you even seeing it? Rak b'malos chavero. Look for the good things. Whatever instrument you're using for seeing the negative, you could use that instrument for seeing the positive. When you meet another person, you should think about all the great things about that person. B'zeh shekosev, and that's why it says, mi ha'isha chafetz chayim. Who is the man who wants life? What do you mean everyone wants life? What does it mean? Everyone wants life. No, the answer is Levakish b'Rosh Hashanah, kazvenu b'sefer achayim. You want to be able to daven on Rosh Hashanah, that you should be written into the book of life. The answer is Netzor l'shon chamera, guard your tongue from evil. Leval yidaber al chavero, don't talk negatively about other people. Sur meira, stay away from bad, v'asei tov, and do good. He, according to the way he's reading it, stay away from bad means stop seeing all this negativity in other people.
To your point, I think I read somewhere that, you know, the Sharon Amelia in the Mishri said there was a 26. And what the Grand Rabbi said about it, 26. The Sharon Amelia said, you know, when you are together, Hashem is with you. If not, then this is not.
Then, that's the. Yes.
Are some of the Dorim, the different types that are mentioned in Kol Nidre, but are some of the Nidorim specifically the kind where you say, I don't want to benefit from anything of this person's or that kind of thing? And if that's true, I don't know whether it's true, but if it's true, that would support what Shlomo is saying, because you don't go into Yom Kippur until you say Kol Nidre, which is getting rid of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me repeat that for what Dr. Appleson is suggesting, is that if you look in Masechtas Nedarim, if you read the Mishnayos and the Gemara, there's like pages and pages about specifically one of the most common vows that people would make, which is, I'm not going to eat by you. Because basically people would want other people to come and eat, and so other people who wouldn't want, they would turn it into a vow so that they wouldn't be able to push them for it. Or sometimes it was a way of insulting someone else, where I'm never going to talk to you again, so instead you turn that into a vow. So there's a lot of discussions about that in the Gemara, because people would use Nedarim to disassociate from each other. So I think that's a beautiful pshat, that you start Yom Kippur by nullifying all such vows and saying, any promises I've made to people I'm not going to talk to anymore, that I'm annulling those vows, right? I'm extending it a little further beyond the vow, but into all those people I'm never going to make peace with, I'll never talk to that person again, I'll never see them, I'm not going to that simcha, right? All those nedarim that we make, So nullify, I think it's a beautiful pshat. Certainly fits with what he's saying. So he says, "V'zeh hachana liyom adin." This is the real preparation for Judgment Day. L'hotzi mishmatenu la'ora. We want our judgment to come out to the light. And then he adds this line. He finishes with this line, which I'll translate the words, but I'd like to know the mechanism for this. But he says, "Ki ma'adam machzik as chaveru becheskas tzaddik." If you look at someone else as a tzaddik, gam oso yichtav b'sifrei tzaddikim, then you get written in the book of tzaddikim. That seems to be the way that he's understanding it. Although you could read it that he's referring to the person who you're looking at. It's unclear in his language. But either way, it's true that when you judge other people positively, in Shemayim, they judge other people positively, and then they judge you positively. So we're all worried about the Yom HaDin, as we should. It's a judgment day that's coming. And we have to do teshuva, and there's a lot of things that we can do. But he's saying, you have to worry about what Hashem wants. And so we're so busy beating ourselves up for the things that we've done. Hashem says, I don't want that. You're not even allowed to daven for forgiveness on Rosh Hashanah. That's not what the day is about. It's about a day of crowning and coronating Hashem. But the problem is, it's also Judgment Day. I want to make sure I get a good judgment. And if we got the 5 minutes in the Sana Tokif to daven, right? But I want to spend all day. The answer is you don't need to, because there is no judgment that's happening for the negative, because all of us have all this positive view of each other, and that gives Hashem a positive view of us as well. And he's saying that if a person considers other people to be a tzaddik, I think he means even you yourself, even I myself, and then written in the book of tzaddikim, because if I see other people as tzaddikim, I must be written in that book as well. So if I can repeat these ideas just quickly one more time. He says, Kisei tzal amolchama aleyevecha refers to amolchemes rishus, refers to the optional wars, which he explained, first of all, it's an incredible idea that a human being shouldn't be able to love Hashem, and the only way that we are able to love Hashem is because Hashem loves us, and we reflect that back. And that was true of Avraham Avinu, and that extends into us, and that's the Avraham being the chesed, the Yitzchak being gevura, and then Yaakov being that area of battling, the area of Rishus, the in-between, and that's what it means when we go to Melchemes Rishus. The second teaching is Hakem Takim Imo, means the Torah repeats itself, same word twice, lift up, you shall lift up with him, where he's saying that you have to be of the students of Avram and the students of Aaron, that everything that you do should be for the sake of giving to others, even your Torah study should be in order to bring good to others, as the story with Reb Zisha, who used to go out and find someone who he could bestow good on, and when you lift up on someone else, along with yourself, then you are lifting up the entire construct of the Jewish people and leading and bringing us closer to the Geula. And then this final teaching, that Kiseitze Machna Leyevecha, you go to war against your enemy, which he says refers to Rosh Hashanah. You should avoid Davara, which has its pshat, but he's reading Davara means to see bad things. You should stop seeing bad things in other people, even people who are unlearned, people who are Atzei Hayar, they're the trees of the forest, and they're not fruit-bearing trees. On this day of Rosh Hashanah, it's Bachatosis with Kol Shofar Hariyu, to become friends, and then Az Yiran Nukala Tzeayar, all the Jewish people will rejoice. And then he adds this chiddush, which he says that there is not a single Jew that doesn't have at least one thing that they are better than you. And not only does every single Jew have something that's better than you, because you may say, well, better than me, big deal. You know, anyone can be better than me, right? But he's saying better than the biggest tzaddik in the world. There's not a single Jew who doesn't have some way where he's better and closer to Hashem in that element than the Gadol Hador. And so when you start seeing all the good things in other people, you bring out the good in them, and that's Mi'a Shechafetz Chaim, if you want to be written in the Book of Life, that's all the Shon Chemera, stop speaking negatively about other people, stop seeing negatively about other people. On the contrary, we'll bring out our judgment to the light by considering all of us, each other, focus on the positive, and see each other as tzaddikim, and then all of us will become tzaddikim, a merit to be written in the book of Sefer HaChaim for good things, for Bane Chaim Mezone, all physical brachas and spiritual brachas. May all of us be zuchet to such a thing, and a ksiva v'chasimitav.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
Recording stopped.